Well, this morning I am reading from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul. Hoping against hope, Abraham believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "So numerous shall your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. A pastor said, "It was the worst day of my life. The washing machine had broken down. The telephone kept ringing. My head ached. And the mail carrier brought a bill that I had no money to pay. I was almost at my breaking point. I lifted my one-year-old up into his high chair. And then I leaned my head against his tray at the high chair, and I closed my eyes, and I began to cry. My son looked at me for a moment, and then without a word, he took the pacifier out of his mouth, and he stuck it in mine. Who needed it the most, huh?" Have you ever lost hope? There are many things in our lives that can cause us to lose hope. Personal pain, public tragedies, stories maybe we hear, another person diagnosed with cancer, another act of terror, another devastating natural disaster, another needless death, more depressing political news, another drop in the stock market, a betrayal, a broken relationship, an unfulfilled promise. At times we may feel like there's no hope. Maybe you feel like tomorrow won't be any better than today. And there can be so much despair. There may seem to be no progress, no improvement. You might wonder, how can there be any hope? The Apostle Paul was concerned that Christians in the first century church were losing hope. They had suffered, they had struggled, they faced great difficulties. And they began to lose hope. So Paul encourages those Christians with a story of Abraham. Paul points out that Abraham believed God and became what God had promised for him. You may remember that Abraham became the father of many nations. In some ways, he's the father of our faith. Yet Paul points out that Abraham was so old, he was as good as dead. Any of you relate this morning to that? Yet he still tried to cling to hope that he would be a father of many nations. Paul was convinced that you will become what you believe. If you believe you are weak, you will be weak. If you believe you are unable to do it, you will probably quit. If you believe God can do it, then you just might achieve it. A Home Touch newsletter carried this story. A little girl was shopping with her mother at Target. She was about 6, red-haired, freckled face, and beautiful. This particular day, it was pouring outside. Anybody relate to that? You know, it was the kind of rain that just gushes over all the gutters. Several people stood under the awning at Target waiting, some patiently, some irritated. They were in a hurry that day. The little girl's voice rose above the sound of the downpour. "Mom," she said, "let's run through the rain." "What?" asked her mother. "Let's run through the rain." "No, honey," said her mother. "We're going to wait until it slows down a bit." The child was silent for a moment. Then she repeated her request. "Mom, let's run through the rain." "We'll get soaked if we do," said Mom. "No, we won't. That's not what you said this morning. When did I say we could run through the rain and not get wet? Don't you remember? When you were talking to Daddy about his cancer, you said, if God can get us through this, God can get us through anything." The crowd standing under that awning fell silent. Not a sound was heard but the rain. The mother paused and thought for a moment. You know, some might have laughed it off, scolded the child for being silly. Some might have even ignored her. But this mom chose to affirm the girl's faith. "Honey, you're absolutely right. Let's run through the rain. If God gets us wet, maybe we just needed a washing." So they ran, smiling and laughing as they darted past cars and as they ran through puddles. And yes, they got soaked. But they were followed by a few others who screamed and laughed like children that day. So in the midst of the storms of life, Paul challenges us to cling to hope. Cling to the hope just as Abraham clung to hope. Now, some of you might think that Abraham had an easy life. Maybe you haven't read the book of Genesis. Hope wasn't easy for Abraham. There were ups and there were downs. Let me share with you some of the problems he faced. For example, if you look at Genesis chapter 12, Abraham gets a message from God. God says to Abraham, "Leave your country, your job, your comforts, your friends. And you are to go to the land of Ur." By the way, this happened when he was 75. Any of you 75? How would you like it if God told you right now to move to Venezuela? I didn't hear anybody say yes. A place of struggle. A place where there's not enough food. Because when Abraham arrived in Ur, where God wanted him to be, they were in a midst of a famine. There was a huge crisis because there was a lack of food. To find food, Abraham and his wife had to go down to Egypt, where Abraham was fearful. And Abraham tells his wife, Sarai, that she is beautiful and the Egyptians will want you. And he's so fearful, in fact, because he's worried that they will murder him. So he tells his wife they must tell the Egyptians that she is his sister, so they won't kill him. So they're going to lie to protect themselves. I know, in some ways it's only half a lie, right? Because Sarai is a half-sister. By the way, if you read the Bible, you're going to find out the Bible is real. It's raw. It is not about perfect people. It is about people who struggle with their faith decisions. Things have gotten so bad for Abraham that he and his wife are now going to fudge on the truth so they can survive. You see, life is not easy for Abraham. And certainly his hope of being a father to a nation must have wavered just a bit, especially as more and more and more time passes. So there is fear. This weekend, a special general conference of the United Methodist Church is meeting all the way through Tuesday. Whenever general conferences meet, there is always those who fear the outcome. By the way, this was true of the last general conference in 2016. Please notice that in this time of leading up to the general conference, I have not been fearful. I'm simply waiting for the outcome, and then we will decide how to meet that. No matter what the general conference decides, though, Gold Canyon United Methodist Church will still be in ministry. I've been here 21 years as your pastor. I hope to be here many, many more years. I hope what the scripture says is not true about me. You know, he was near to death. So we will continue to minister to people in need. We will continue to feed people through our food bank and through Genesis Project. We will continue to teach children and youth. We will continue to plan and to lead worship. We will celebrate Christmas and Easter. We have no hidden agendas here. We're planning to pay off our debt. We're planning to build a fellowship hall. We're planning on starting a satellite campus. You know, United Methodists have always disagreed with each other. By the way, we could have a disagreement right now. Because in this room, there are conservatives and there are liberals. And you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we join together in ministry. We pride ourselves in doing ministry together. I'm optimistic about our church. Together, we are the body of Christ who will work and serve together, unified by Christ's love and the grace of God. We have a hope in a church that will be the hands and the feet of Christ. Do you hear that? We have tremendous hope in this church. But when we get to Genesis chapter 15, Abraham now is 86 years old. He's almost as good as dead. He's still trying to have kids, by the way. You know, that sounds awful on a number of levels. Abraham is frustrated. Abraham complains to God, "You promised me a son. Where is my son? God, you said it would happen, but I don't see it." Then in Genesis chapter 16, it gets worse. Out of fear, Abraham and Sarai take matters into their own hands. Sarai tells Abraham to have relations with her servant Hagar, since they haven't had kids yet. And Abraham, being the team player, he looks at her servant and says, "Well, for the team, I guess I could do that." Why do you laugh? I know why you're laughing. Then Hagar has a child, And by the way, from this point forward, Abraham's story gets messier and messier. Some of you are nodding your head. You've read all the way through Genesis. By the way, you haven't read Genesis, read it. Interesting stuff in there. Have you ever noticed that the longer the time between what is promised and when it gets fulfilled, the harder it gets to hang on to our hope? Because we're impatient. We want results right now. Then, in Genesis 17, when Abraham is 99, he is told that Sarai will bear him a child. That long hope for event is going to happen. And as a sign of this, Sarai is renamed to Sarah. And God made Abraham the father of nations. Sometimes to have hope, we have to have something to push against. That's why we do weight training, right? We push against things and we build our muscles. A marriage gets stronger when we have something to push against. A dream gets stronger when we have something to push against. Abraham's faith gets stronger. The apostle Paul's faith gets stronger. So Abraham and Paul had faith in God's promise, even though they had doubts at times. Their faith still got them through the struggles and the difficulties. Now, if you focus on your weakness, it will weigh you down. If you focus on your weakness, it will cause you to lose faith. An interviewer once asked Billy Graham if he was an optimist or a pessimist. And Dr. Graham said, "I'm an optimist." The interviewer was surprised by this. He asked him, "How in the world can you say you're an optimist when living in a world like we have today?" And Dr. Graham responded, "I've read the last page of the Bible. I know how the story ends." We cling to hope. See the picture of the rock climber on the screen? That's what it means to cling. By the way, you can't see it, but underneath him is about 4,000 feet of air. He is high up on a cliff, clinging. That's what it means to cling to hope. Pastor Adam Hamilton shares this story. Several years ago, a young woman in his congregation died of medical problems brought on by undiagnosed Lyme disease. As Adam was preparing for her funeral, her mother told Adam that her daughter had written on her mirror in lipstick the words of Psalm 118, verse 14. "The Lord is my strength and my song." This was the hope of a dying girl. Her hope in God sustained her. The hope of the resurrection sustained her mother and her father. The mother later told Adam that she and her husband had gone out and bought a hope chest in memory of their daughter. And then they placed in it special things that their daughter had. And then they placed the hope chest at the end of their bed. This was a different kind of hope chest. It was a reminder that one day they would see their daughter again. They were clinging to the hope of eternal life. You know, that's not wishful thinking. That's the voice of faith speaking. We know the end. We live it out in the present. So as we face the difficulties of life, we cling to hope. Amen.